لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة الحديد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد ارسلنا نوحا وابراهيم وجعلنا في ذريتهما النبوة والكتاب فمنهم مهتد وكثير منهم فاسقون ثم قفينا على آثارهم برسلنا وقفينا بعيسى ابن مريم وآتيناه الإنجيل وجعلنا في قلوب الذين اتبعوه رأفة ورحمة ورهبانية ابتدعوها ما كتبناها عليهم إلا ابتغاء رضوان الله فما رعوها حق رعايتها فآتينا الذين آمنوا منهم أجرهم وكثير منهم فاسقون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وآمنوا برسوله يؤتكم كفلين من رحمته ويجعل لكم نورا تمشون به ويغفر لكم والله غفور رحيم لئلا يعلم أهل الكتاب أن لا يقدرون على شيء من فضل الله وأن الفضل بيد الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم نبر قلوبنا بالإيمان واشرح صدورنا للإسلام ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. By the blessings and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have, in our own humble way, completed the study of three sections of Suratul Hadid. Only the last section, that is the fourth, now remains. And this is the smallest section. But as you have the saying in English language, last but not the least, although it is the last, but it is very important in its own place, in its own right. But before I proceed with the study of this last section of Suratul Hadid, I would again like to have a bird's eye view over the whole of this surah, so that the line of argument that is coming, proceeding from the very beginning, that comes to your minds again. The first six ayat of this surah al-Mubarakah, as I told you, as far as I have understood, as far as I can say, they are the most profound ayat of the Quran regarding the discussions on the person and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the highest philosophical level. The next five ayat, they are very important, most profound, regarding the practical aspect of deen. First six ayat, that is the person and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the most important aspect, intellectual aspect, intellectually. But practically speaking, five ayat. In first of the five ayat, we have two demands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe in me as you ought to believe. Believe in my messengers as you ought to believe. Not a verbal attestation alone, conviction from the depths of your hearts. Number two, whatever I have given you, You are not the owners. I own everything. You are the custodians, the trustees only. And this is the test for you. You spend it for my pleasure, in my cause. From all the things on which I have given you vicegerency. Two demands. Aminu ankar. If you fulfill the two demands, I promise salvation. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْفَقُوا لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ Now for each demand there are two ayat. In the first, a sort of rebuke. What has happened to you? Why don't you have the real faith? While our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling you to have real belief in nobody else but your own master, your own creator, your own sustainer, your own Lord. وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ وَقَدْ أَخَذَ مِيثَاقَكُمْ And he has already extracted from you the covenant. The first covenant, before sending you to this world, while you were in the spiritual world only. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَا And the second covenant, when you said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا When you embraced Islam, when you proclaimed that you believe, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ You are already sold. So why don't you have this real belief? And if you feel that really that something is wanting, something is deficient, don't be disappointed. We have given you the source to have iman. هُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ Read this Quran, ponder over it, dive deep into its meaning, and you will have the real faith. Then two ayat about infaq. وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ What has happened to you? Why are you behaving niggardly and miserly? You don't want to spend for the pleasure of Allah. Well, all heritage of heaven and earth will finally go to Allah. It's a very temporary period of testing that it belongs to me, this is my wealth. Nothing belongs to me. Everything will remain for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, when Islam is dominated by others, weak, subdued, if you help Islam in this condition, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل whosoever does infaq and qital في سبيل الله When Islam is still weak, then your reward will be very great. But when Islam has become dominant, even then if you do these things for Allah's sake, Allah will reward you. But your rank will be very low then. أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرْجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ وَقَاتَلُوا And then a very passionate appeal. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا Who is that courageous person who can give Allah the goodly loan? Who can spend his money, his wealth for the deen of Allah. In the third section comprising of four ayat, something which should shake us. In this world, in the community, in the Muslim Ummah, the real mu'mineen and munafiqeen and the weak in faith and the strong in faith, they are all intermingled. It's not written on the face that he is munafiq. Not written on the forehead that he is mu'min sadiq. There's no gauge with us with which we can measure the iman, the depth of iman. So all these things are intermingled. But on the day of judgment, there is going to be a stage. A clear distinction will be made. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَدُونَهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ On that day you will see that the real believing men and women, they will be given light of iman, light of amal saliha, bi'amanihim on the right hand, right side. They will cross all the hurdles, all the difficult stages of that day of judgment with the help of this light. While the munafiqeen, they will have no light. They didn't have any iman. يوم يقول المنافقون والمنافقات للذين آمنوا انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم قيل ارجعوا وراءكم فالتمسوا نورا
وضرب بينهم بسور له باب. Now differentiation is made. منافقين this side. The مؤمنين this side. And then they will cry to the مؤمنين. Say to them, ألم نكن معكم؟ Were we not with you in the world? قالوا بلى. They will say, well, definitely. But you overindulged in worldly affairs. You overengaged yourself in the love of the relations and belongings of this world. Then you remained in a suspense. Then doubts invaded your iman. It started melting like ice or snow. But then even after that, you just satisfied yourself with amani. Oh, Allah is forgiving. Allah is merciful. Go on. And that shaitan, your enemy. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوا عَدُوًا. You are the enemy for the human kind. He deceived you. On Allah, that Allah is very forgiving. Go ahead, continue in your life of fisk and fujur. Life of earning through haram means go on, go on. Allah is very forgiving, merciful. Don't worry. So then finally it will be said that today you, O munafiqeen, you were with the mu'mineen in dunya, in the world. But here in the hereafter, you are with the kuffar. فَالْيَوْمَ لَا يُوْخَذُ مِنْكُمْ فِدْيَةٌ وَلَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مَعْوَاكُمُ النَّارِ هِيَ مَوْلَاكُمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. Fourth section again of four ayat. Now after having said all this, whosoever just awakes from his slumber, he feels it's correct. But Quran is saying it's the correct diagnosis. Really, I don't have that burning faith within my heart. It is true. I am over engaged in the worldly affairs. All my time, all my energies, they're all engaged in getting maximum of this world. Luxuries, comforts, amenities, name, honor, power. We are after this world. Now if this consciousness has arisen in your mind, you are very lucky. Very lucky. Congratulations. But now hold fast to it. Don't let this moment pass. Catch the time by the forelock. This is a very opportune moment in your life. Now let not shaitan say to you, oh, okay, I shall see to it after 10 years, after 5 years. Let me finish this work. Let me finish this work. Let me have all my daughters married first. I have to do it. Then I'll see. I'll be whole time devoted to the deen of Allah. I'll just to pay this mortgage of my house, this palatial house, because I have to do it, you know. I can't live without it. So when this mortgage is finished, then I'll become a Muslim. I'll become a Muslim. Then I'll devote fully. This is the biggest deception of shaitan. أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has time not come as yet for the true moments that their heart should melt in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they should bow down before what has come down from haq, from the truth that is this book, and they shouldn't become وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. They shouldn't become like those who were given the book before them. What happened? Their hearts hardened although they were the chosen people of the Lord. No doubt. Quran also says, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. If they say, we are the chosen people of the Lord, it is not without any basis. But actually you were chosen for a mission. You left the mission back and you thought we are chosen. The same as we think. There's no difference. Difference of a dot and a jot. The same attitude of the Muslims of today. The hearts hardened. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ فَهِيَكَ الْحِجَارَةِ وَشَدُّ قَسْوَةِ. So that is an example for you. They have been deposed from this position due to this attitude of theirs. let this fate not befall you. And if you actually find that there's no iman within me, the land of my heart is barren, don't be disappointed. أَلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revives the land after its death. Barren land, rain falls, and it again comes to life. So He will give you a new life of iman. He can, if you want, if you really choose, if you make a firm determination, if your choice is correct and sincere. قَدْ بَيَّنَّا لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. We have made our signs clear to you. Even if now you don't take the courage, now it's up to you. If you want now really, you have to plow the land of your heart. And that plowing is in unfaithful. And this infaq can take two shapes, two heads. Sadaqah for the poor, for the needy. Spending for charity. And the second, spending for the deen of Allah. إِنَّ الْمُصَّدِّقِينَ وَالْمُصَّدِّقَاتِ وَأَقْرَبُوا اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا يُضَاعَفُ لَهُمْ وَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ. And if after doing this, plowing your land of your heart, now if you put the seed of iman, it will flourish. The harvest of iman, the tree of iman. كَمَثَلِ مَثَلًا طَيِّبَةٍ كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. It would be like that shajara tayyibah in your heart. And then, this break having been released, now you can go ahead and reach the levels of either shuhada or siddiqeen. Open. These ranks are open for you. And you will have this light that will appear on the day of judgment. As for those who reject our ayat, who belie them? Well, they are the people of Mufara. The fifth section, you are very fond of this worldly life, what is it? أَيْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاقُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. 5 years, but after the other. In early childhood, life means only play, innocent play. When you come to the teenager stage, now there is some sensual gratification type of element added to it. Lahwun. And zina. You want to adorn, to look good. Your dress should be according to the fashion. Your haircut should be according to the fashion. Then when you pass this stage, then you are not very much careful about these things. Now, tafakhur, boasting over something, either over your race. We are Germans, the superior race. We are such and such people. Boasting over race, boasting over your wealth, anything. Boasting over your health, bodily health. So that is the most prominent thing in that part of life. But when the decline starts, now only one thing, and that is takasur fil amwali wal aulad, getting more and more of money, amassing more and more of wealth, having more and more of children. That was in the past days, not today. Today only the wealth. And this, you can complete this subject with the surah of the last part, alhaakum takasur hatta zurtumul maqabir. This period continues till death. This takasur doesn't leave you. It will continue till death. But this life has to end. You can't stop old age coming to you. It has to come. You can't stop the death. It has to come to you. But in the hereafter, which is eternal, there are two things. Either وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. Either severe punishment and torment, or forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His pleasure. Now choice is yours. Make your choice. That is the freedom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you. ومل حیات دنیا الا متاع الغرور. If you choose this world, I can't help quoting a line from Iqbal, کیا ہے تو نے متائے غرور کا سودا, ومل حیات دنیا الا متاع الغرور. You have yourself chosen a deception, a mirage. It's your choice. You can't blame Allah that you will find nothing in the hereafter. If you have chosen this world, this time. If you have chosen the next, then this is the land to sow. Ad-dunya madratul akhirah. You'll have to do good deeds here, to spend for the pleasure of Allah here, to exert and strive for the cause of Allah here, and you'll get the reward in the hereafter. Weeping will be in the hereafter, sowing, that is to be done here. So, hasan, run, fafirru ila Allah, sabiqu ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannatin 'arduha ka'rdis samaa'i wal ard. Compete with each other. Run towards the maghfirah to get the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that jannah, that paradise, whose vastness is just like the vastness of the heaven and the earth. It has been prepared, decorated. It is awaiting to welcome عِدَّةٍ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ, those who had real belief and faith in Allah and His messengers. As for the inflictions or pain or losses of this world, why do you care? مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ مِنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. Whatever comes to you, any pain, any loss, that has already been written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a book before He brings it forth. And it is very easy for Allah. ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. But if you have this knowledge, and if you have this faith, the result should be, لَا تَعْصَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. Don't be grieved or over-grieved on whatever you lose. And don't be over-delighted. وَلَا تَفْرَهُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ وَتَ اللَّهِ gives you. Both conditions are conditions of testing. Sometimes He gives you something to test, whether you are grateful or not. Sometimes He takes something from you to test whether you show patience or not. You become complaining, start complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allatheena yabkhaloona, such people will always try to keep their wealth with them, because that is the source of delight for them. Their bank balance. And they will advise others also, don't be a fool. You must save for the future. Don't you have so many sons and daughters? You must look to these things. So their advice will not be they spend for the cause of Allah. It will be to the reverse. But if you take to this attitude, please know, in the Allah waliyul habib, Allah is above all needs. He doesn't need anything. And He is praised, self-praised. He needs no praise even. And then came the, I think the sixth section, if the number is correct. And that's comprised of one ayah. Why this infaq? What for? Why this qital? Two words have come. لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. But infaq for what purpose? Qital for what purpose? That purpose is given here. لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات. We sent our messengers with clear signs and proofs. وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ. We sent down with them the book, the law, and the balance. The balance of rights and obligations. These are the rights of women, of wife, and these are the obligations. These are the rights of the husband, and these are the duties or obligations. He has to perform and fulfill. These are the rights of the parents. These are the rights of the sons and daughters. These are the rights of the brothers. These are the rights and duties of the neighbors. There is a complete balance with responsibilities go the privileges. If the responsibilities are more, privileges have to be more. If the responsibilities are less, then less privileges will be due. So this balance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the only just, who can do justice to everybody. Man can never do justice to women. Women can never do justice to men. They can't appreciate each other's sentiment. How a woman thinks and feels, can a man have the appreciation of that? Impossible. How a man feels, a woman can never have the appreciation. How a woman feels, a man can never have the appreciation. So if he will decide, he will decide in his own favor. If she will decide, she will decide in her own favor. If the rulers are left alone, they will have their rights, accumulation of rights and power. If the laborers are given the authority, they will look to their own interests, not to the interests of the factory owner. Only one person, because we believe in personal God, إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدْنِي. He is the infinite ego, the only person who can do justice to everyone is Allah. Al-Khalq wa Ya'lullah, all this creation, all these creatures are like family to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He loves all. He cares for all. Huwa Rabbul Alameen. So the just social order that Allah gives. I have said all these things, why? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. So that the people should abide by this justice, balance, fair play. That is the purpose of sending the messengers. That is the purpose of sending down the books. That is the purpose of sending the balance, the system. And now, because who are exploiting others, who are ruling others, who are depriving others, they will never like justice to be established. It means a threat to their interests, vested interests. The feudal landlord will try to continue this feudal system because he is having luxuries at the cost of the tiller, the laborer working in the field. He is enjoying. He lives in air-conditioned houses. But in the blood and sweat of the laborer, of the tiller of the land, that is actually producing wheat. But they are in luxuries, in their bungalows, air-conditioned bungalows. And the tiller sowed and then reaped in burning heat. So will the feudals ever allow you to change the system? Will the capitalists ever allow you to change the system? Will the monarchs ever allow you to put an end to the monarchy? Just simple. There has to be some strife. And Allah says, we have sent down iron also, with which you can make swords and spears and shields and so on. Although some other things, utensils of use can also be made out of this iron. But it is primarily we sent it down. وَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ فِيهِ بَاسٌ شَدِيدٌ. The strength of arms we have put in this iron. وَلَا يَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ وَرُسُلَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. And it is so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see who are His faithful servants and bondsmen, really believing in Him and His messengers, who are ready to take this power of steel and iron in their hands and to fight against those who want to obstruct the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to obstruct the establishment of the just social order given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in their way, they should help Allah and His messenger. وَلَيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ وَرُسُلَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. The last words of this ayah remain unexplained. I realized later on, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَبِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. He is Himself all-powerful. He can do it in no time. But it is only to test you. If He does it, how will it be decided? What's your position? How sincere you were. What was the depth of your iman? How shall we differentiate between Abu Bakr and Abdullah ibn Ubayy? Both will be equal. They might have been standing shoulder to shoulder behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the first line, in the prayers in the mosque of the Prophet. So this differentiation is to be made. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. We have read it in Surah Al-Ankabut. وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. We have to do it. Otherwise we are ourselves powerful enough. We can do it in no time. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. We have to only say be, that it will become. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. He is قَوِي, He is عَزِيز. His authority is unlimited, absolute. He is powerful to do anything he likes. فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. But it is all for the purpose of testing you, measuring your depth of conviction and devotion. And that measurement will be by the amount that you have of your time, your energies, your wealth, your belongings, your sons, your daughters. If you have all, if you have dedicated all of them for the deen of Allah, then it shows you really meant business. If you say that I loved Allah, you are correct. Your behavior is a witness to it. Now we are coming to the fourth section of this surah. In a way it may be called an anti-climax. What do you mean by that? Not exactly very sense. One extreme is that this world becomes the goal of a person. His priorities are, number one, this world, its luxuries, its wealth, its property, its honor, its name, its power. People work very hard. Just remember how hard Bhutto, Zulfiqar Ali Bhutto worked to ascend to that power of seat, of power of government, seat of government in Pakistan. Very hard. Although he was born not only with a silver spoon, but a golden spoon in his mouth. But the hard work, I have a witness to it. I have been seeing all these things. Making 6 speeches a day, when his voice was absolutely hoarse, he had to exert to the utmost for his voice to come out. He gathered 300,000 people in remote corners of Punjab. He could do it. But what for? Power. Brains of power should be in the hand. That's the only cause. That was the only purpose. So actually, one is that in this dunya, this world, this life, and don't think only money, power, name, people should know me, name and fame, projection of personality, all things relating to this world and this life. If that is the end, that is the end, that is the goal, that is the real object, it's one extreme. But there has been another extreme also. And that is what we call rahbaniyya. Leaving this world is absolutely sinful. Not marrying. How can I remember Allah when I am with my wife and my children? We are not going to this. In the monasteries, in the caves, tops of the mountains, worshipping. Doing hard spiritual exercises, whole life. Abstaining from everything of this world. Going hungry, days and days and weeks together. These things have been done. The history of Christian monasticism is a witness to it. India, Buddhist, tapasya, the rishis and munis, what they have been doing. Not marrying the bhikshus of the Buddhist. No marriage. This is a sin. That's the other extreme. Now Islam is actually sawa as-sabeel. A middle of road, middle road. Qasd as-sabeel. Qasd, iqtisad. The middle way. Sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path. You call equator. Khate istawa, bhai. It is right in the middle of the globe, dividing it into two parts. Two hemispheres. So actually, this is khate istawa. Sawa means barabar. Equal. So actually, sawa sabeel. That we want to follow, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to follow, that is the middle path. And just note, we have been given the title, the middle ummah. كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Between the extremes, neither ifrat nor tafreet, nor going to that extent, that you became slave of this world, slave of your carnal desires, slave of wealth, slave of fame and name. You become bondsman to this. Just as the Prophet said, Taisa dunya, Taisa abdul dinar wa abdul dirham. Abd of dinar, the worshipper of dinar. Who is he? Who has to have dinar anyhow, whether by hook or crook. I have to gather dollars. I don't care through permissible means or haram. I don't care. Dollars must be accumulated. You are Abdul Dollar. You may call yourself Abdul Rahman, but you are Abdul Dollar. You are the slave of dollars. Abdul Dinar and Abdul Dirham. So one extreme is this. The other is, no. Leave it. No marriage, no family, nothing of this sort. I am not going to give this body any pleasure. No. All pleasure, cut. This is the other extreme. Our deen says, وَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Your own body has also right over you. You have to care for it. Keep it clean. Give it the necessary rest also. وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Your wife is also right. Give her time. Give her company. Have regard for her sentiment. وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Your visitors have right for you. But it so happens sometimes that this emotional attitude, it takes a man to extreme. And in the history of the prophets, this case was the most prominent among the followers of Hazrat Masih alayhi salatu wasalam. So now in this section, actually, the mention is to be made of Hazrat Masih alayhi salatu wasalam and his followers, and then the negation of Rahmaniyah that they invented, that is the main subject. Why? Because don't go to this extreme. You have to remain in the middle of the road. You have to pursue sawa sabeel, sirat al-mustaqim, qasd al-sabeel, not extreme. And secondly, remain in this world and then be pure. To be away from this world and remaining pure, it's no bravery. It's just running away. Face it. Remain here. Darmiyane kare taya takta bandam kar dahi. Baaz bhi goi ke daman tarmakul hushyar baaz. Oh Allah, you have thrown me in an ocean of sin. And I am only a log of wood to cling to it. And I am in the ocean. And then you tell me I should let my clothes being wet. درمیان قار دریا تختہ بندم کر دریا. بعض بھی کوئی کہ دامن ترمکن ہوشیار پاس بھی بے دھیر دند میں پیو. If you abstain, you leave this world, it's nothing. So please note two words. Self-control and self-annihilation. These are two absolutely different things. Self-annihilation is killing yourself. Self-control is keep it, but control it. Your ego should be powerful enough to control your baser self, the id or libido. And then this ego should bow before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having full control of your personality. One piece, not a split personality. Part of you going before Allah, part of you rejecting the commandments of Allah. No. As a wholesome personality, as one piece, you bow before Allah. And that can only be when your ego is in full control of your whole personality. So that is self-control which is needed, which is required. But self-annihilation, this is rahbaniya, this is haram. This is not allowed in our deen. I will give you some ahadith also in this respect, but let us now first translate. But please note one point more. Although this is the main subject that is being discussed here, it's a sort of an appendix to this surah, because the climax of the surah was لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَن يَنصُرُهُ وَرُسُلَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. And I told you last night that the whole Surah As-Saff is actually the exposition of this one ayah. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. يا ايها الذين امنوا هل ادلكم على تجاره تنجيكم من عذاب اليم تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله باموالكم وانفسكم. And also ان الله يحب الذين يقاتلون في سبيله صفا كانهم بنيان مرصوص. And ending with the call, the clarion call, يا ايها الذين امنوا كونوا انصار الله كما قال عيسى ابن مريم للحواريين من انصاري الى الله قال الحواريون نحن انصار. All this Surah As-Saff is the sort of exposition of this ayah. Now it's an appendix. That never go to the other extreme also. And there's an example of Jesus and his followers. Not Jesus, followers of Jesus. They took to this, the extreme other side of him. Other extreme. So don't follow it. And I told you, in these surahs, the address is not to the people of the book. The address is not towards the idol worshippers of the Arabian Peninsula, to the Muslim Ummah. But they have been mentioned as an example for getting lessons from the past. But actually it is for us to have the lessons, to learn the lessons. But I was going to give you a point which is very important. In Quran we find, you know, the main subject is being discussed, and alongside that main subject, there are some side issues which are very important academically. But there are side issues there. And you will find the best examples in these four ayat. Two very important examples. Although it's a side issue, but it's very important from the academic point of view. Now please read. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا. Just see, mention was to be made of Hazrat Masih, but it's the preface. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا وَإِبْرَاهِيمُ. And verily we sent Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, as well as Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. They were also our messengers, just as Muhammad is our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِمَا النُّبُوَّةَ وَالْكِتَابَ. And we put, appointed, the book and the prophethood in the progeny of these two. What does it mean? After Nuh, there could be no prophet except in the progeny of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And after Ibrahim, there couldn't be any prophet except in the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. It's very important historically speaking. What does it mean? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was, in the period, time of Ibrahim was round about 4,000 to 4,500 years from this time. After that time, no prophet has come in any part of the world who is not belonging to the progeny of Ibrahim. One line was Ishaq, Yaqub, then Bani Israel, a long list of the whom you call the prophets of the Old Testament, ending with Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam, Masih. The other was Madian or Midian, third wife of Hazrat Ibrahim, Qatura. From her, there was another line, and Shu'aib alayhi salam was sent in that line. The third, and actually the foremost, because the eldest son was Ismail. He was the prophet, but after him, no prophet in that line. But last, but not the least, but the greatest prophet, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came in that line. So, this is absolutely sure. If there is any possibility of any prophet in any other part of the world, then he must be from the progeny of Ibrahim. Maybe some branch of the progeny of Ibrahim might have migrated to that area. Otherwise, impossible. Why I am telling you these things? There are certain evidences that in India also prophets were sent. A very big scholar of India, Maulana Manazir Hasan Gilani, is absolutely sure that Gautam Buddha, Gautama Siddhartha Buddha of Kapilvastu, the prince of Kapilvastu, he was a prophet of Allah. And his name is Dhul-Kifl in Quran. In Arabic, there is no pay or p. Pay or p changes to fa. So that is couple, kafl. Dhul kafl, that person who belonging to kafl vastu. Because this name has appeared in the Quran twice. But there is no detail who he was, to which line of the progeny of Ibrahim he belonged, where he came, what was the history, what happened to his people, no, nothing. In the whole of Quran, in the whole of Hadith. So, Maulana Maladir Hasan Gilani said this. And let me tell you, Shaykh Mujaddid Al-Fasani Rahimahullah, Ahmad Sarhindi, he says that in his Mukashafat, Kashf, you know, revelation, sort of revelation, but it's not the revelation of Wahi of Nabi. The revelation, Kashf. He saw that this area, East Punjab, where he also lived, and he also was buried in Sarhand in East Punjab, and that is in Punjab now, Punjab, Indian Punjab, many prophets are buried in that area. So, it is just possible. Number one, the possibility is that the progeny of Ishaq's elder son, Hazrat Ishaq had two sons, they were twins, Esau and Yaqub. Yaqub is from Aqab. Aqab is behind. So a twin sons were born. First was born Esau. And after him came Jacob, Yaqub. So where went the progeny of Esau? Nobody knows. Maybe he might have migrated towards India. Second possibility, 12 tribes of the Jews which came out of Egypt in 1400 years B.C. About some of the tribes, nothing is known where they went. You call them the lost tribes of the house of Israel. Maybe they came to India. And that is the time when the Aryans came to India, 3000 years before this time. And that is exactly the time of the Exodus of Bani Israel from Egypt. So maybe some of the tribes, they went towards India. And because they have this Brahma, this word Brahma, Brahman, very close to Ibrahim. Just as the Christians have made Hazrat Masih a deity, given him the divinity. In the same way, maybe that those people, they raised Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to divinity. Brahma, Ibrahim. And you have all the characteristics there, you know. In Egypt, people used to worship cow and calf. Same is the case in India. Yellow color, safra, that is sacred here, sacred over there. What did Hazrat Musa do with the calf of Samri? Burnt it, and then its ashes were thrown in the river, in the ocean, in the sea. What do they do with their dead? Burn it, and the ashes are thrown in the river or the ocean. So there are just possibilities that some of the tribes from the progeny of Hazrat Ibrahim, well, let me note, tell you here, there's a person who has just recently died, Shams Naveed Usmani, a very big scholar in India. He died at Rampur. He has written recently a very important book, Abhi Na Jaage To. The title is very strange, but the book is very important. He has proved, and actually not he, but a French scholar who remained in India for 40 years, and then he wrote a book, The Hindu Manners and Customs and Ceremonies. The author is A.J.A. Dubois, A.J.A.D.U.B.O.I.S., a French scholar. He wrote the book, and he came to the conclusion that Manu of India is Mahanubu, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. They believe in Nuh, and in their scriptures there are the glad tidings about the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Just as they were in Injil and in Torah, they are present up till date. But the name is Ahmad, that has changed into Amit. Amitab is the light of Ahmad. Noor of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the word that they use, Amitab. Amat, and Ab is the shine. So this book is a must for everybody who belongs to the Indian subcontinent. So as to know, you know, one opinion of a scholar about the background, but one thing we know for certain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been sending prophets to all the nations. وَإِمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ إِلَّا خَلَا فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. There has been no town in which we have not sent any warner. وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. To every nation we have sent people for guidance. So it's just possible, but it's very important. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا وَإِبْرَاهِيمًا وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِمَا النُّبُوَّةَ وَالْكِتَابَ فَمِنْهُمْ مُهْتَدٍ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Some of those, the progeny of Ibrahim, they are on the right path. They are the rightly guided people. But majority of them are the transgressors. Now they have shown their backs to the covenants that they made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ قَفَّيْنَا عَلَىٰ أَصَارِهِمْ بِرُسُلِنَا. Then we made our messengers follow them. After Ibrahim, Isaac, Yaqub, Joseph, so on, Moses, so on. ثُمَّ قَفَّيْنَا عَلَىٰ أَصَارِهِمْ. In their footsteps, we made a chain of messengers we sent. وَقَفَّيْنَا بِعِيسَى ابْنِ مَرْيَمْ. And in the end, we made Isa, son of Mary, follow these. It was a chain, as I told you. I told you time and again, that the chain of the prophets in the former Muslim Ummah never broke for 1400 years. And the hadith is there in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. Kanat banu Israel tasusuhumul anbiya. The community affairs of Bani Israel were in the hands of the prophet. Kullama halaka nabiyyun khalafahu nabiyyun. Whenever a nabi died, a prophet died, another prophet took his place. Dawood was nabi, Dawood was king, Dawood was caliph. Ya Dawood inna ja'alna ka khalifatan fil ard, alayhi salatu wassalam. His son, Sulaiman, alayhi salatu wassalam, was the nabi, the caliph, the king. So, kullama halaka nabiyyun khalafahu nabiyyun. But then we sent Isa, son of Maryam, وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْإِنْجِيلِ, and we gave him Injil. Injil actually means, in Hebrew language, good tidings. Bashara. They call it now gospel. Injil is Bashara. Because actually, as we have seen in Surah As-Saff, the main purpose of the advent of Hazrat Masih was to give the Bashara and glad tidings of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you want to see it for sure, you just read the gospel according to Saint Barnabas. Evangelium Barnabe. Go and read it and you'll find on every page mention of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now, in the next session inshallah, we shall continue this subject. We have reached till the person of Hazrat Masih alayhi salatu wassalam, and that Injil was given to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim, wa nafa'ni wa iyaakum bil ayati wa al-zikri al-hakeem.